You are a great God, that you are a God who knows all of our needs. You have the power to heal. You have the power to help. And Lord, there are so many needs been mentioned this morning. We pray that you would just guide and direct and work in every one of these situations. Think of this passport situation for Rebecca. Give wisdom as they try to get with the judge now and get that taken care of so she can go on this mission trip to England. Think of these folks that have passed away and the cancer ministry and Diana's family and friends. And Lord, these that are really struggling physically, and we pray you touch them and minister to them and help them, Lord. This one, Kathy, with cancer, and Curtis Stonecipher, Lord, he's been on our list before with the Parkinson's, for Tommy Bear, Lord, with great physical needs. Lord, we pray you touch her and help her as she is really waning now in her life. And Lord, think of Kim's family. Thank you, Lord, for getting Kim back in church and how you ministered to her, how we see her growing. And now her son is going to be deployed, and her son-in-law and her daughter is really struggling, Lord, spiritually. And God, I pray you just continue to help Kim and her family and her home situation. And Lord, just show your power there in a mighty way. And then, Lord, ask you to bless as we look at your word this morning. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We are back in 2 Samuel this morning. I was lamenting to my wife. Lamenting is a nice word. It's not quite like complaining, but it sounds much more spiritual. And I was lamenting to her about how difficult it is sometimes to preach in the or teach out of the Old Testament. When you teach in the New Testament, which we're going, I think, to 1 Thessalonians next, I mean, every verse is a gold mine, you know, and you have all these great doctrines you can teach and apply. You get in the Old Testament sometimes, and it's like, what in the world? How in the world does this apply to our lives today? 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, "Now all these things happened unto them," speaking of the Old Testament Jews, "for in samples, and now they are written for our," what's the next word? Admonition. In our school, the Bible, I taught last semester on how to teach the Bible, and I said as a Bible teacher, we have two responsibilities. One is to explain the Word of God, and the second is to apply the Word of God. If I just give you truth today and I don't apply it to your life, it doesn't help you. If I give you application but no truth to back it up, I don't help you. You need to know what God's Word says and how it applies to your life today. Now, as I read our passage, which is the second or the last part of 2 Samuel 19, I didn't have this problem. I'll be honest with you. The moment I read this passage, I thought, my lands, that sounds like the typical Independent Baptist Church in our century today. You've got a bunch of folks here that are full of pride, and their pride makes them very petty, and it brings all kinds of trouble. And instead of one tribe or a group of people being peacemakers, they egg it on, and then we have another guy who comes in as a troublemaker. Now this morning, I want you to examine your life and see if you side with the troublemakers or the peacemakers. You're one of the two, by the way. When difficult circumstances come up in your home, at your work, in your family, you will either be a peacemaker or a troublemaker. Which one does God want you to be? Well, that's pretty simple, because he says in Matthew, blessed are the troublemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. Now let's look at the story this morning. We're going to move quickly. If we don't get through, we'll continue next week. But we start in 2 Samuel 19 and verse 40. And it says, "Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimcham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel." Now, if you're new with us, let me kind of get you where we are. As you know, Absalom rebelled, and Judah went with him in rebelling against David. David ran for his life and had gone out to Mishmash, I can't think of the name of the city. That'd be a nice name, though, Mishmash. And he's in the city, and of course, has a great battle, and David's troops defeat the troops of Absalom. Absalom is killed. David now is coming back across the Jordan River to come back into Israel and going to eventually come back to Jerusalem to be on the throne. Now, if you remember, when he first made plans to come back, what people met him and said, "We want you to come back and be the king"? I know this has probably been like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Was it Judah or Israel? It was Israel. Now remember, Israel is made up of how many tribes? 10 tribes. The 10 northern tribes. Judah is made up of 2 tribes, the 2 southern tribes. And the tribes of Israel said, "Hey, let's bring him back to be the king." And the people of Judah weren't so excited about that because they had sided with Absalom and they could be in big trouble. So now we read this account and it's very interesting because who brought him back? Judah. And notice in the passage how many of Israel came. Now, they're probably speaking not about the whole nation of all the people, but the elders, the rulers. Only part of the rulers came back from Israel to escort him back into the land. Now, we think probably what happened was the men of Judah said, "Hey, we're bringing him back, and we don't really care what you think. We're bringing him back when we want to bring him back. And if you're here, fine. If you're not, that's fine too." So they had this big, great procession and all these things and great honor and all, you know, all the excitement. They're bringing the king back. And only half of the people of Israel are there. Well, how do they respond? Verse 41. Have you got the scene? Because it's important. Okay, you got that? Rick, you got it? You with me? All right, good. "And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, 'Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan?'" So what's their problem? "Hey, you didn't tell us you were bringing him back. What's the deal? Why'd you guys bring him back? We wanted to be here. We wanted to be part of this big parade, you know? We missed the parade. What's the deal?" Okay? "And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, 'Because the king is near kin to us, wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost, or hath he given us any gift?'" And so what did the guys of Judah say? "What are you upset about? We're family. We're close to him. We have the right to bring him back because he's part of us." Well, how'd the Israelites respond? The men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, "But we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king?" And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Now, isn't this petty? You got the guys from Judah over here saying, "Hey, he's family, man, so we can bring him back when we want to." And you got the people from Israel over here saying, "Hey, we got 10 tribes. We're bigger than you. We're better than you. You should have asked us about bringing him back." I mean, of all the stupid things. Now, thank you, sir. What is the root cause? They said, "You didn't ask our advice about when to bring him back." What's the root cause of this whole problem? Pride. Pride. Have you ever been when someone is going to make a decision and you have a wonderful opinion? In fact, it's the right one. And they don't even ask you your opinion? I mean, that's happened to me here at the church. Can you believe that? I mean, here this little punk pipsqueak pastor, he's what, 35 years old. I am almost 55. I've been on staff for 30 years. And he makes this decision. And he didn't even ask me. He asked Bob. You say, surely that doesn't happen in a church where everybody's spiritual. And that's exactly what it is. Boy, I tell you what, folks, pride can make us really petty, can it? My lands. And by the way, when you have pride, what comes next? That comes next to that person. But what does pride lead to? We're going to see it in this passage. Let me give you Proverbs 13:10. "Only by pride cometh contention." You say, "Gary, We've got contention in our home. You know what you got? You got pride. You say, yeah, but if you knew my wife. No, you got pride. It's a pride problem. Now, I was not here. I understand Pastor preached on this Sunday night. But since I missed it, I just thought I'll give it to you here. It's interesting. In the church at Corinth, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you don't need to turn there. We had people in that church that were saying, I am better than everybody else because I was saved under Paul's ministry. You know, the great apostle Paul, the great missionary pastor Paul. I was saved under his ministry. And then you had these guys over here. Oh, well, I'm better than you because I was saved under Apollos' ministry, the great orator, you know, great rhetoric. He was preaching one of his great sermons, and I came under conviction. I was saved. And then you got another group over here. These are really pious people. Well, we were around when Christ was on the earth, and I was saved under his ministry. And they're fighting. And Paul said, ye are yet carnal. You know, it happened in Corinth. And hallelujah, folks, we see it, unfortunately, all the time in our day. You visit Harmony Baptist Church. And just down the street, there's another church called New Harmony Baptist Church. Where did it come from? Well, because Harmony Baptist Church didn't have Harmony, and they split. And they went and started New Harmony Baptist Church. That's right. That's exactly right. That would be a better name. No Harmony. That's exactly right. It is just amazing, folks. Look, if you're sitting here today and you're a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and you're upset about somebody didn't do this to me or somebody did this to me, you know what the real problem is? Pride. I didn't deserve that, or I did deserve that. And I hurt my little feelings. I'm glad you've all never been there, because I sure have. It's pride. It's pride. And that's exactly what was going on here. Now look, I taught in James a couple weeks ago in the School of the Bible, and it says in James 4:6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. It says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, there's no doubt that these folks had some serious pride problems. And when the Israelites, the men of Israel, came to Judah and said, what are you doing? This is not right. How did they respond? Now, let's think about this. How could they have responded? How should they have responded? They could have said that, but let's be a little nicer than that. But it already happened. They could what? Apologize. What do you think I am, some kind of worm?
It's a new word.
What do you have to do before you ever apologize? You got to humble yourself, don't you? What if they had said, I'm Judah, you're Israel, okay? There's 10 times, he's got 10 times, I've got 2 here. You know what? You're right. We blew it. We should have never planned this thing without asking you guys. What would Israel have done? What would you do? If we had a problem, Mark, and I came to you and you were, I'd done you wrong. You know, that's a good country western song. Somebody done me wrong, you know. And I come to you and I say, Mark, you know what, man? I am so sorry. I blew it. I should have never done that. I should have never said that about you. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm really sorry. Now, what in the world can you do? You know, it never costs you anything to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. I'll be honest with you. There have been times I felt like there were things between me and somebody else, and I didn't know if I did anything or not. I said, look, Joe, man, I don't know what's going on, but if I have offended you, I am sorry. So will you forgive me, Joe? He's laughing at me. That really hurts. Joe, help me out here, Joe. I tell you what, folks. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now you know this. When your wife says to you for the 15th time, take out the trash. I did very well this morning, I remembered, so that was good. And you say, woman, get off my back. You've said that 15 times. I'm sick and tired of you telling me to take the trash out. What have you just done? Boy, you've taken it to another level. And you're in big trouble now. Okay. Yes, dear. Boy, that's the greatest thing to do. Yes, dear. That ends all fights. Yes, dear. Okay. I tell you, folks, you humble yourself. And have a soft answer, and it turns away wrath, and the rest of the story would not even be in the Word of God. But I'm right. So what? Give yourself a star, and then apologize, okay? Hallelujah, folks. I tell you what, it happens in churches all. I was not here when they built the new auditorium, but I from what I understand, there was a huge issue with the curtain in the baptistry. Well, now that's doctrine, folks. That's important stuff. Unfortunately, the men of Judah did not respond that way. In fact, the Word of God says their words were fiercer than the words of Israel. Wow. The Word of God says, and I already quoted it to you in my introduction, but in Matthew 5:9 it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. That's interesting to me. Why would peacemakers be called the children of God? And he's the God of all peace. When we are peacemakers, we are like God. Well, unfortunately, they didn't have any peacemakers in that day, and so we have the record of their pride and this great problem. Now, let's see what happened here. We won't get through all this. We'll just kind of plug away, and when the time runs out, we'll quit, all right? There happened, chapter 20, there happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse, every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba the son of Bichri, but the son of Judah, men of Judah, clave unto their king from Jordan, even Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he left to keep the house, put them in ward, fed them, but went not in unto them. So they were shut up into the day of their death, living in widowhood. And that's not a verse we're going to talk about a whole lot, obviously. But verses 1 and 2, this guy, Sheba comes on the scene. Notice a man of Belial. This was not a good guy. Here's a troublemaker. And here's his opportunity. He's from the tribe of Saul. And I think the Benjamites really never got over the fact that they'd lost the monarchy. And so here comes Sheba, and he plays on their discontent. And by the way, Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Okay? So here he comes, and he is a troublemaker. By the way, how does God feel about people who sow discord? In Proverbs chapter 6, it talks about the things that God hates. Verse 19, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. In Proverbs 26:20, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Again, A tale bearer is a troublemaker. David, did you hear what they said about you? Can you believe that? I heard it. It was on Facebook. I know it's true. I've never quite understood why people have secrets and they put them on Facebook. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. A troublemaker, a talebearer, stirs up strife. Are there people like that in fundamental independent Baptist churches? I can't believe she said that about you. Well, really, I can. And they go about, and they've got the latest news, and they just want to tell somebody. Oh, it's a prayer request. Please pray for Susie. Her marriage is falling apart. Wow. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. By the way, there's another word for these kind of people. The Word of God also calls them busybodies. Yeah. And the funny thing about that is, they wouldn't be busybodies if they were busy. They've got too much spare time on their hands. If you find that all you do in your life is go around and tell secrets about things, then you need to get busy doing something for the Lord. And that'll take your mind off of all this junk, and you won't have time for it, okay? 2 Corinthians 2:9, notice what it says. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I gave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. What is Paul saying? Look, if I need to forgive somebody, hallelujah, it's forgiven. What an attitude to have. And why did he do that? Verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. When you have hard feelings in your heart towards somebody, you are a prime target for the devil. He's got you. Oh, boy, I'm going to use that, and I'm going to cause dissension in the choir. I'm going to cause dissension in the bus ministry. I'm going to cause dissension in the Victory Bible class. I'm going to cause trouble. Because there's hard feelings in their heart. And he says, look, Paul says, I'm willing to forgive anybody anything. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote 12 or 13 books of the New Testament. I mean, this guy is like way up here spiritually. And he said, look, if I've hurt anybody's feelings, man, I forgive them. I forgive anybody. He said, why do I do that? Well, for the sake of Christ, but two, because we don't want to give the devil a foothold. When you've got bitterness in your heart against someone, well, the devil's got a foothold. He's got his door in the crack. He's got his foot in the crack in the door, and boy, you're in trouble. And that's exactly what's going on here. In Proverbs 20, verse 19, it says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. What are you supposed to do with a talebearer? According to that verse, stay away. Stay away. Well, because of all this, back in 2 Samuel, and our time is about history, we have, it says in verse, I think it's 3, no, it's not 3, that they desert. Okay? And so Israel takes off. And all of the people are going to follow this guy. And I think I'm just going to stop right there, okay? You want to know the rest of the story? Come back next Sunday and I'll tell you, all right? But I want you to meditate on this thought this week. Am I like Sheba, troublemaker, a tale bearer, a busybody, or am I a peacemaker? Part of that too is, do I have bitterness in my heart toward anyone? Now let's be honest. Some of you folks have gone through some tough times. Undoubtedly. You've had some bad relationships. Okay? Some bad experiences in life, undoubtedly. But folks, we've got to remember that bitterness in our heart doesn't hurt them a bit. Isn't that ironic? We're upset with them because of what they've done to us. And by being bitter against them, we just continue to let them do it to us. And the only person we're hurting is them, is us. We don't hurt them. They're going in their merry way. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake, or God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now in this story, folks, it's almost a silly story. Almost silly. But that's exactly what pride is in our life. And we get upset about the stupidest things. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been there and done that. And it just wreaks havoc in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our lives. And so I encourage you this week, be humble. When contention comes up, remember the problem is pride. Give a soft answer, turns away wrath. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. In your home, be a peacemaker. But you don't know what they did. No, I don't. But you still ought to be a peacemaker. Okay? Now, our score. Last week was 190. We went down a little bit this week, 170. But the good news, we're at 369. And our goal for this Sunday was 301. Obviously, I made the goals, and so I made them right. No, that's not true. You guys are just doing a great job. So 369, we're about here. So we're rounding second. We're around second. We're about to halfway to third, all right? Our goal is to get home, okay? Got two more weeks. Let me encourage you, if you've not been a part of this, what we're really trying to get folks to do is to be here, to be out visiting, and to bring visitors, okay? First-time visitors. So we've got two more weeks. Let's continue doing a great job. And I'll be honest with you, much of this, our bus captains are doing a great job, and I appreciate all the work they're doing. But it's good to see some of the other folks that are not bus captains out visiting too. Great. And you say, well, Gary, I don't know who to visit. Let me have all of our bus captains stand up. All of our bus captains stand up, if you can, Ed. And Terry, you're a pretty rough-looking bunch. Look, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bus. No, we don't have all the bus routes in here. I must be counting somebody double. Okay, you say, I need someone to visit with. Okay, look at all these people standing up. Okay, of course, men visit with men, ladies visit with ladies. But if you want to do something for God this week and go visiting, these folks, we're delighted to have you. By the way, 2x2 is biblical. Okay, a lot of reasons for that. I don't have time to give that to you. But if you want to do something with the Lord this week, talk to one of these men, one of these ladies, and we'll get you out serving the Lord. Or if you want to go door to door, we've got that ministry. If you want to visit people in our class who've not been here, or maybe some of our shut-ins, hey, we'll put you to work. Okay, thank you, men. Ladies, you may be seated. Lord, we do thank you for your word. I pray this week you'd help us to be peacemakers. Help us to be forgiving in our lives. And Lord, help us to be like Christ in all of these things. Lord, there may be people here this morning, I'm sure there are, who are really hurting and in very difficult circumstances. And I pray that you'd give them the grace to be able to forgive and the grace to be a peacemaker in difficult times, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.